Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is former Congressman Denny Rehberg filling in for Aaron Flint this week. I had no idea how difficult it is to be a radio talk show host. I hope Rush Limbaugh is not rolling over in his grave. And I used to listen to Dr. Laura as well when I was out farming and ranching back in the old days. I would be feeding cattle. I had about 500 head. No brother, no uncles or aunts to help me. So I'd feed 500 head of cattle every single day. And 88 was a tough year because I had to haul water as well. 1,000-gallon tank on a 2-ton truck every single day until the Conrad Burns campaign came along and said, would you be willing to take over the Conrad campaign in August? And I said, boy, howdy. What does it take to be a campaign manager? I'd be happy to do it. And 6 o'clock the next morning, I was in an office with a suit and tie running Conrad's campaign against John Melcher. Pretty exciting times. Well, I'm calling Cindy Johnson in a little early. Cindy was going to be on a little later, and she called in. And Cindy's a long and dear friend. Her husband and my wife are on the Mountain States Legal Foundation committee again out of Denver. They're a great organization that sue the bad guys for free. They mostly take on environmentalists and such, and people that can't pay their legal bills. The Mountain States Legal Foundation comes in and takes on their case. We heard from Will Trachman on Monday. It was a fascinating conversation. We have another conversation with them tomorrow. Their gun expert's going to talk about his case before the U.S. Supreme Court. But Cindy, welcome. Good to have you. You were in Billings, Montana a couple of weeks ago. I had told the audience that I was on the committee that talked Farm Bureau into coming to Billings for the first time. They'd always been in Bozeman, and they were kind of running out of space. And I brought my brand new baby in a little carrier, sat at the committee meeting. I believe she was less than a year old at the time. People still remind me of that. And we were successful in moving the convention back and forth. I think you still go to Bozeman, but you were in Billings a couple of weeks ago. Cindy, what did you all decide at the Farm Bureau convention?
Well, that's our grassroots policy event of the year. And it's preceded by a year's worth of meetings within our local county organizations, county farm bureaus, and they surface current events, issues that are important to agriculture at that time, or perhaps a local issue, something that they're having difficulty with, whether it's water or property rights or government relationships, you know, those kinds of things. And they surface a policy at the local
Sounds like we're going to run out of time, Cindy, on this segment. If you'll hang on, we'll do that pesky taking advantage of the advertisers to get money into the Aaron Flint program. And then we'll kick back into you just as soon as this short advertising break is over. So please stick with me.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today, high temperature readings will range from around 50 in Bozeman to about the mid-40s in Billings. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, low temperatures in the mid-20s, and then for Thursday with sunny skies, high temperatures back to around the lower 50s across the area, clear skies into Thursday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Securing America.
The U.S. military has had difficulty recruiting over the last several years, but 2024 saw significant improvement. During a Tuesday conversation with the Stimson Center, an international security think tank, the chief of naval operations, Admiral Lisa Franchetti, detailed her branch's increases over the last year.
We actually exceeded our recruiting goal, and we had actually raised our recruiting goal. So we recruited over 40,600 brand new sailors.
Franchetti says that the increase is due in part to the U.S. military as a whole trying to better understand the individuals they want to recruit.
And I think they really want to be part of a team. They want to understand the why behind what they're doing.
She says the Navy has also focused extensively on improving housing.
And making sure that people have an opportunity to separate their work life from their home life.
And that the overall goal is,
what does it look like to be a world-class employer of choice, and how do we get there?
Give me Redsky, Fox News.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, again, obviously, it's not Aaron Flint. It's former Congressman Denny Rehberg on the line with you. I'm filling in for Aaron this week. And I have Cindy Johnson, who is the president of the Montana Farm Bureau, which I was a member, still am a member of, joined in 1978. Think a lot about the organization. Cindy, welcome. Sorry to have cut you off. That pesky advertising break came up on me a little too quick. I'm a newbie when it comes to being a talk show host, but welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
One of the things that we've talked a little bit about this morning is GMO, and I happen to be an advocate of GMO just because it feeds the poorer countries, but we have a lot of GMO in America. Did you talk about that at the Farm Bureau Convention at all?
No, we didn't, because we have, I think the majority of our members are engaged with livestock, and then probably about 40% of them just farm, and there is no such thing as GMO wheat, and we farm a lot of wheat. I don't think that there's GMO barley unless they raise it in other countries. I'm really just not familiar with it. So GMO wasn't on the radar, but we did have an opportunity to hear from Dr. Mitlohner, I think his name was. He's a professor of climate science out of UC Davis, and he spoke to us the two mornings after MSU beat UC Davis in the football game. So he was very humble. It was a good conversation. When you put climate change on the agenda of any meeting, people get a little bit anxious, because climate change is something that, you know, when you're engaged in agriculture, you know this just as well as I do. Climate's always changing. And farm and ranching in Montana always adjusts to what it does. You know, we have strategies that we can implement to try to manage drought, and we have strategies that we use to try to manage water. And so climate change is not a dirty word, but it's just something that happens. And his conversation with us was about his research that he conducted following a significant scientific paper that was posted that indicated that agriculture was responsible for a significant portion of greenhouse gases. And so he went through a process and analyzed their research and proved them wrong. And it was pretty enlightening and very enjoyable to listen to this man talk about climate change.
We had Tom Birmingham on this morning with Westlands Water District. He has 600,000 acres of irrigated farmland that he represented in the San Joaquin of California. One of the things that he had to deal with over the years was the Endangered Species Act, the Delta smelt and salmon, and flushing water from agriculture out into the ocean. Does Farm Bureau get involved in the Endangered Species Act, or is that, not as big an issue as it is for the stock growers with the grizzly bear and wolves and such?
It's a big issue for Montana across the board. Montana grain producers up in the Golden Triangle battle grizzly bears every summer. We've got grizzly bears that can break into grain bins, and we have grizzly bears that kill sheep and calves. And so we have folks right along the Rocky Mountain front up where I live. Trina Jo Bradley and Carly Johnson are both very well versed in our issues with grizzly bears. But we also support the livestock producers when it comes to wolf management and try to make sure that our ability to manage our own wolves does not change. And those are some of the issues that happen at the local level that we, when I first talked about the development of our policies, you know, so those are the kinds of local issues that we deal with.
People don't really realize it, especially if you're not in ag production. Magpies are protected, ravens are protected, and I found out the hard way being in the goat business, because when a little kid is born, it's somewhere between 2 and 4 pounds, the ravens would come down, and while the little kids would bleat for milk from their mother, the ravens would come down and take their tongues, thinking they're worms and such, and we had an entire truck dedicated to dead baby goats. And, magpies are a pest, but they're a migratory bird. And under the Endangered Species Act, they refer to migratory birds, and they specifically name, not crows, but ravens and magpies. And they can be pests, and they can cost those of us who are farmers or ranchers a lot of money. Always respected the Farm Bureau, because you're not necessarily flopping all over the place on political issues. You're very pure in taking policy positions, and you don't necessarily deal with the vagaries of daily life in Congress or the legislature. Talk a little bit about some of the things you're going to be going to the legislature under your policies, talking about the things that are wrong with Montana or right with Montana that you want to protect.
Well, Montana Farm Bureau is a big advocate of private property rights. And under the auspices of private property rights, one of the issues that we're going to be working with the legislature on this year, obviously, is number one, property taxes. Number two, the impact of exempt wells on agriculture. And number three, what the water court should look like.
Well, Cindy, I thank you for giving us a little bit extra of your time this morning. We didn't have as much time allotted, and it's fascinating what you're working on. You represent so many people throughout the state of Montana. I'm proud to be a member of Farm Bureau, and certainly taking advantage of the Farm Bureau insurance on my cars. So, Cindy, thanks for being in a leadership position. It's good to talk to you today. God bless.
This is House Call for Health. President-elect Trump's nomination of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to preside over Americans' health continues to raise questions about what he would focus on if confirmed. Kennedy believes that the American diet is rife with poisonous additives and chemicals that are making people sick and fat, and that we would do well to follow Europe's example. Take the Big Mac. You assume the health values would be the same everywhere, right? No. The U.S. Big Mac has nearly 100 more calories than the U.K. version, 42% more fat, more carbs, but about half the sodium. A can of baked beans sold in the U.K. has 30% fewer calories than its American rival and a quarter of the fat. It also has significantly less carbs. Not every product tells the same story, though. For example, the U.K.'s Skippy peanut butter has more calories and sugar than the U.S. version. The U.S. allows some 10,000 additives overall, compared to just 300 by the European Union. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute? When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Farmer and rancher sentiment surged in November with the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer rising 30 points to 145. That's the highest level since May of 2021. The Future Expectations Index jumped 37 points to 161, while the Current Conditions Index raised 18 points to 113. This optimism stems from expectations of a more favorable regulatory and tax environment following the election. Financial outlooks improved significantly, with 34% of farmers anticipating better times in the next year, more than double October's rate. Investment confidence also grew as the Farm Capital Investment Index hit 55, its highest since May of 2021 as well. Despite slight dips in farmland value expectations, both indexes remain robust. While farmer sentiment is up, farm sector profits are forecast to fall in 2024. The net farm income forecast is looking to come in at just under $150 billion for calendar year 2024, down $6 billion or 4.1% relative to 2023. Inflation-adjusted farm income is forecast to drop by $9.5 billion. Despite the predicted decline, net farm income in 2024 would be 16% above the 20-year average of $121.4 billion. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Obviously, this is not Aaron Flint. Aaron's out of the country today. He takes off to Iraq and Afghanistan quite a bit, representing the people of America. This trip happens to be something that he was invited to do with his wife, and he better do that. You know, I haven't advertised the phone number here at the studio. It's 406-294-0970, and KBUL also has an app. Before I introduce our next guest, I want to read a couple of quick notes that were called in to me. Lightbrows in Hardin said, "You're speaking about Africa. I spent approximately 10 years there as a private military contractor. I haven't seen any non-GMO bananas in the U.S. because of a disease in the 30s. They were GMO'd, and we now have bananas everywhere. The non-GMO bananas are about 6 inches long, don't taste any different. The only place I know they are available is along the equator in Africa. People getting bananas here don't know they are a product that is GMO." Another comment from somebody in Ennis. "Morning, Denny. I believe we have met in Dillon, Montana at the Matador Ranch, you and Conrad Burns and the Koch brothers, and they're the Americans for Prosperity, and that's who Aaron had worked with traveling around Montana talking about Bidenomics and why we needed to defeat John Tester. He said, "I was a young ranch hand at the time, fresh out of Montana. You and Conrad said enough to make me listen more to Rush Limbaugh, made me a constitutional conservative. Thank you for your service to Montana. And we want to know more about GMO." So eventually maybe we can talk about that as well. But we have a special guest on the radio right now, a friend of mine, Jim Duncan, who is the head of the foundation up at the Billings Clinic. They have recently started managing the Kalispell Hospital that I used to represent as a public affairs person after I left Congress. Jim has been at the clinic for 30 years. He's the head of the foundation and chief communication officer for the clinic. And he's kind of a quitter. He's quitting in July. Jim, how can you do that? Why are you quitting?
It has to do with too many birthdays. I'm retiring, actually, in July after 30 years in this role. But Phil will help the organization long into the future. I love the organization and look forward to having what I've been calling a little bit of a dimmer switch as I head into retirement. So not quitting, just moving to a new chapter. Good morning, by the way. How are you?
Good morning, Jim. Obviously, I have spent a lot of time at the Deaconess and the clinic. My dad was on the board for a number of years. I did everything from sticking a axe in my foot, fencing, to some of the issues I've had that are unique. I have what's called a rare disorder, which means my blood and my nerves don't really get along, and they fight each other. But the clinic has been special to me, as is the Kalispell Hospital. I spent a little time in there. Maybe I'm a klutz. Maybe I get too involved. But your foundation is important. What do you do as far as the foundation? And tell us a little bit about the hospital industry around Montana. What's going on in Congress? What's going on in Helena? Why is the foundation important? But more importantly, why are hospitals so important? And frankly, in some ways, they seem to be expensive, but you have a unique relationship between your patients and insurance industries and such. So I've dropped the load on you, but go for it.
Well, first of all, thank you for giving us a chance to visit and just update people on a couple of things. And also thank you for your great service to our nation, to our state, and your partnership with us. You mentioned Conrad when you were both there. There was a lot of good things that we were working on to do more for rural health care, which is an additional challenge. I mean, the healthcare industry in the nation has been through a lot of tough challenges in recent years. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the inflation we've been fighting, the supply costs, drug costs, coupled with the workforce shortages. You know, there's a stat, I think our nation's going to be somewhere around 86,000 shortage of physicians in the years ahead by the next 10-15 years. And so, you know, getting people trained, not just doctors, but other clinicians and technicians that do the work is important. And we play a big role in that. On that note, you know, additional medical schools are great, but the residency training, where they get that extra training to do their practice, to take care of people that have the complex issues that need that specialty care is really important to get the right training. And we're doing a lot of that at the Billings Clinic, and our foundation has helped with that. We have a family medicine residency in our community. We, the foundation, helped raise the dollars to start an internal medicine residency program, our psychiatric residency program, surgical residency program. We're doing something with the University of Washington around pediatrics. So training is important, but it's important at many levels from, like I said, technicians, x-ray, all kinds of different staff are needed. And so we're starting to see some progress in that area, which will help us because, you know, the cost of healthcare is no doubt expensive. You know, there's still a lot of Americans who choose or don't have health insurance. And so that puts a burden on it. Plus, we have an aging population. So more people are living longer and using more healthcare services, and so it's great. One of the things you mentioned also is our partnership, our combination with Logan Health up in Kalispell. And as a native Montanan, one of the things I'm excited about is that the Billings Clinic Logan Health system now covers from northwest Montana into all of eastern Montana and northern Wyoming. What I really like about that is it gives us a chance to have more scale, to have more buying power, if you will, in the supply chain and some of these new project developments. But also the key thing there is that we're Montana-based. So the decisions being made about our organization are ones made by people that live and work here and have businesses and raise their families here, and that's really important. The other key thing that we try to focus on as a combined system is rural health care. So we partner with a lot of communities across the state into northern Wyoming, as I mentioned, and help.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you for that. One of the first things I did when I became lieutenant governor in 2001 is, 1996, is I jumped on an airplane with Julia Robinson, who is head of the SRS at the state of Montana, and she said, you know, it's embarrassing. We're one of two states that does not have a family practice residency program. And what that does is it gets Montana kids back in Montana, and you might place them in Scobie, you might place them in Malta, and they fall in love, they get married, they have kids, and they actually stay in those communities and practice medicine. And we were successful. We traveled all over Montana in an airplane. We went to Missoula, Great Falls, Helena, Butte, Bozeman, and Billings stepped forward. You guys, back then, Deaconess and St. Vincent said, we'll pony up the money, we'll create a family practice residency program, and we were the 49th state to get that. So that's one of the things that you've taken advantage of and really done a yeoman's work as far as bringing Montana doctors to rural areas. Thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for your help with that. The other key factor is nursing, you know, and our state's really bolstering the nursing education program. We need more nurses. We're starting to see that workforce stabilize, still some work to do, but there's a lot of great things on the horizon for healthcare, and I think making sure people can stay close to home for their care so they don't have to go to Denver or Salt Lake or Seattle. That's one of our key messages, is keeping people closer to home when they have a stroke, they have a heart attack, they get in a bad trauma situation. We can talk more about our trauma journey and how the foundations help with that as we have time, too.
You bet. And, you know, one of the other issues I worked on, and I go back and forth, but I think it's a great thing, is electronic medical records. I had a dickens of a time getting the Department of Defense to communicate and cooperate with the Veterans Administration on electronic medical records. I know the doctors are sometimes feel overwhelmed with the paperwork, but, boy, I tell you what, you guys have done yeoman's work with electronic medical records. As well at the clinic and throughout the state of Montana.
We were an early adopter of that, and that has continued to progress over time. Plus, we're a member of the Mayo Clinic Care Network, so when we do need that quaternary care level of care that we don't have available in our state, we can easily access that and give people that very specialty level of care consult as needed. And they're one of the highest, recognized quaternary care centers in the world, and so that's been a great partnership with the Billings Clinic.
Well, Jim, unfortunately, you hear the music coming on. We have a hard break because those pesky advertisers want to sell their wares, and they actually support this program. Jim, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to working with you in the future. Thanks so much.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, obviously, this is not Aaron Flint. This is former Congressman Denny Rehberg, former Lieutenant Governor, State Legislator, filling in for Aaron Flint, who's out of the country right now and hadn't been fired yet. I want to introduce you to one of my best friends, somebody who was my chief of staff the years I was your United States Congressman. He had to learn that I liked the book Holistic Resource Management, and my favorite movie was Sound of Music. I catch a lot of crap for that. Somebody that you'll never have met from before, from Whitlash, Montana, graduated in Polson, but his family all comes from the Sweetgrass Hills of Whitlash, Montana. Eric Iverson. Eric, welcome to the show today.
Well, thanks for having me, Danny. It's a poor man's Aaron Flint, it sounds like, this morning. But I caught a little bit of it. It seems like you're doing okay. Seems like you're doing all right.
Well, I haven't been fired. So, so far, so good. Eric, I just got to thank you for being with me all those years in Washington, D.C. You did yeoman's work. Eventually, I moved you back to Montana. You moved to Missoula, even though you're a bobcat. I stuck you in Missoula, and you've made a pretty good living over there.
That was almost cruel. I mean, a bobcat and a Republican in Missoula. I mean, that was borderline sadistic.
It was. Talk a little bit about your time in Washington with me, and you kept me on the straight and narrow. You know where the bodies are buried, and we're not going to talk about the bodies, but talk a little bit about what you're doing now. I mean, you have a pretty important position. Why don't you start with that? You're in polling now.
Sure. I am. So I'm the president of a company called Peak Insights. We're a national Republican polling firm. We've got, at least 8 U.S. Senate clients now, ranging from both Senators, Senator Daines and Senator-elect Sheehy. Kind of cover the ideological spectrum in the U.S. Senate. We've got Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski's clients, but also, you know, Jim Risch and Tommy Tuberville, who, you know, tend to score the highest on some of the conservative ratings, and sort of everything in between. Got about, 16, 17 U.S. House members as clients. Again, kind of ideologically diverse. Ranging from, you know, David Valadao, who I know you know, Denny, and served with in the Central Valley there, who continues to defy the odds in a seat that is plus 13 Democrat by registration. David won it by 6 points this time around, all the way to, you know, a Jim Jordan, who I know you also served with, is a client of ours, and sort of everything in between. Obviously, Governor Gene Forte, several other governors, Brad Little around the country. About half of our work is political for Republican candidates around the country. About half of it's corporate. We do a lot of branding work for corporations and nonprofits and hospitals and trade associations, those sorts of things, message development, that sort of stuff. We do a lot of, you know, the typical stuff that, you know, by the time you sit down to dinner, your phone rings and you pick it up. We do that kind of polling, too. But a lot of focus groups and ad testing and message testing and those sorts of things, and do that for a number of companies around not only the country but around the world. We do international work as well. But look, it all started in Denny Reberg's office in 2001. I'll never forget. I showed up there as your legislative director at the time, and there was
all. Who did you work for?
Mail.
Who did you work for then?
That's right. So yeah, right prior to that, I was working for John Thune. Obviously now the newly elected Senate majority leader. So I worked on agriculture issues from in Thune's office. I'm a lawyer by training, not as good of a lawyer as Jan Reberg. My background was in law at the University of Oregon. My first job was a deputy legislative assistant in Rick Hill's office, where I actually worked for Todd O'Hare, who's now the chamber president in Montana. I basically wrote his mail for him. Did all the kind of crap he didn't want to do.
Be careful. Todd's on after you today. Todd's going to be on the radio after you, so I'll remind him of that.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know. He was a great boss. Well, Todd was great. Learned everything from him.
And you're no Jan Reber, but you're certainly no Dennis Iverson. And Dennis is Eric's father. Dennis was the director of the Department of Health when I was lieutenant governor with Governor Stan Stevens. So we go back a long ways. I even knew Eric's grandpa, Carl, and his grandmother, Mabel, which were delightful people up in the Sweetgrass Hills in the small oil and gas industry. So Eric goes back a long ways as far as his knowledge of Montana. Again, I couldn't have done it without you. And you're going to have a great relationship, I know, with John Thune, and that's very important with him being the majority leader. You liked the company so well, you bought it. It was more information at one time. And in my race against John Tester, 9 pollsters around the country had me winning the race, and one did not, my own polling firm, Moore. And I called Bob Moore and I said, and Hans Kaiser, I said, what gives? I'm going to fire you. You're the only polling firm that has me losing. Everybody else has me winning. And guess what? More information was the only one that was right. And Eric bought the company.
Yeah, that's the thing about polling. Sometimes, you know, you have to just deliver the bad news. And I know Bob always saying, hey, you know, sometimes the numbers are the numbers, whether you like them or not. And we had a pretty successful run, obviously, this year, too, doing a lot of races around the country. And, obviously, you know, with Steve Daines and the job he did at the National Republican Senatorial Committee, I mean, getting back control of the U.S. Senate, 53 seats. I mean, you know, a guy from Montana leading that effort, I think it's pretty impressive and something that everybody in the state should certainly be proud of, you know, the kind of leadership position Brock and all the team there, Tim Edson, you know, really, you know, getting that majority back and being able to make, you know, a majority leader out of John Thune instead of a minority leader. So I think it's a big deal, not only for Montana, but it's a huge deal for the country.
Well, and when you think about it, when I ran against John Tester, and I always took on tough races, I left the lieutenant governor position, could have run again, decided to run against Max Baucus to create a contrast of philosophies, and I lost that race. And I wanted to do the same with John Tester, create a contrast of philosophies. It took a few more years to have that come to fruition, but when you think about who I was up against in the Tester race, you know, Jim Messina was the campaign manager for Barack Obama. He went to school in Missoula. You had Stephanie Schrock, who was his first chief of staff. She was ahead of Emily's List. You had, I can't remember, what was the name of the woman pollster from Montana?
Celinda Lake.
Celinda Lake from Montana running national Democrat polling for Obama and everyone else. I was up against a team, and Tim Sheehy was lucky. He had Steve Daines, and he had Brock, and he had Eric, and all the pieces came together at the same time to defeat John Tester and give Montana an opportunity to see the differences in philosophies and try and put this country back together. And Eric's polling was so very important. He had a unique, or has a unique, ability to look at the numbers and say, hey, this is the message that is resonating right now. This one is not working. Boy, they're wrong on that. And that it's a unique talent, Eric, that you've got.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and Tim, he definitely, timing was good. You know, the electorate's changed in Montana, certainly since you ran, Denny, even since 2016, even since 2018. Been a rightward shift, particularly in the left. The transplants that are coming into Montana that 25, 30 years ago we all didn't like because they were Californians bringing their liberal values are now Californians leaving because of liberal values in the state and bringing their conservative values with them. And so I think Tim benefited from that. He's also an outstanding candidate. I mean, you know, a bio that really I think is really difficult to match as a decorated war hero, a Navy SEAL, and business owner and an entrepreneur. And, you know, that in the environment, I think it was, you know, Tester just sort of collapsed also under the weight of his own terrible voting record. So I think a lot of factors, changing the demographics, a really good candidate. Well, we've had good candidates against Tester before, but Tester had a voting record that really it almost seemed like he didn't think anybody was paying attention back to Montana the way he'd voted the last 6 years. He had really gone off the deep end with Biden and Harris, and it caught up with him. But it does show, Denny, I mean, you know, going back to 2012, it's very difficult to beat an incumbent U.S. senator who outspends you, and it's a difficult thing to do anywhere in Montana or anywhere across the country. And I mean, you still see it time and time again. You look at 2022; everybody said, "Well, Republicans underperformed; they had terrible candidates in all of these races, and we should have won more U.S. Senate races." If you think about it, what really happened in 2022 in the Senate races is incumbent senators, be they Republicans like Ron Johnson or Democrats in states like Nevada and Arizona, incumbent senators who have the most money, generally speaking, win. Yep. Now, there were a few exceptions this year because we picked off Tester and McCormick won in Pennsylvania, which you know, obviously were big upsets.
Well, Eric, we're going to take a break real quickly here. I'm going to come back to you after the break, but we have to make a little money for Aaron Flint. I'm not getting paid, so once again, I'm an idiot. I'm doing this voluntarily for Aaron while he can be off in Cancun, Mexico with his wife having fun. But, Eric, I'm going to call you back after the advertising break, and we'll talk a little bit more about the world of polling. So, again, Denny Rehberg filling in for Aaron Flint.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
We're back on the Nada Yada Island Confessions Show. Benny is about to tell us how he found two loves. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks to Metro, I found iPhone 12 and Apple Watch SE.
At Metro, get the perfect match of both iPhone 12 with 5G and Apple Watch SE for only $99.99. You heard that right. Both for just $99.99. Holidays with Nada Yada Yada, only at Metro by T-Mobile.
Bring your number and ID, sign up for Metro Flex Plus and add a watch line. Not available if you're with T-Mobile or been with Metro in the past 180 days. Limit 2 per account.
Fox News commentary.
Donald Trump isn't even president yet, but he's already putting the world on notice. Release the hostages or else. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there,
it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Failla, bring in authors for The Book Club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
President-elect Trump still has about a month and a half until Inauguration Day, which means our enemies and even our allies have about a month and a half to get their berries back in the basket. But as for the Hamas animals who brutally raped, murdered, and took captive innocent people on October 7th, well, they're getting a warning straight from Trump. In a Truth Social post, Trump announced he is giving those terrorist monsters until his Inauguration Day on January 20th to release all of the remaining hostages, or there will be all hell to pay. Not only will Trump retaliate, he has vowed to retaliate by hitting them harder than anybody has been hit in the long and storied history of the USA. Say what you want about Donald Trump. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. Our enemies around the world have been on a four-year field day, but that field day is over on January 20th, 2025. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with a crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information, or instant payment. Email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at OIG.
With Amber.com. List with Amber.com.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Obviously, this is not Aaron Flint. This is former Congressman Denny Rehberg. And I've been lucky enough to be joined by my former chief of staff, Eric Iverson, who now owns a polling firm. And Eric, we received a notice from Lori in Billings. She asked the question, when pollsters call, how do we know which ones are legit? We get asked by phone, email, and social media. I don't mind answering, but there are so many. Any insight? Can you tell us how you vet?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question. I would say if someone is polling you via email, go ahead and ignore it. That's just not sound methodology. If it's a robo poll over your phone where you're pushing buttons instead of talking to someone, I would ignore it. Still your gold standard of polling where you know it's a real poll. That is being done, conducted by, a real firm, as if it's a live call on your phone. You get a live call on your phone, it's legitimate. There's somebody behind it who has taken thought and time and put money and effort into it.
Can you tell if they're...
Some of the text polls are fine.
Can you tell if they've got a particular bet, whether they're Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, environmental or normal people? How do you know?
Not until you start hearing the questions. Once the questions start and they're, if they're testing all negative messages on Tim Sheehy, for example, odds are it's probably a Democrat group probing ways to message to him, to hit him, those sorts of things. So generally speaking, the types of questions that get asked can give you a clue. Now, it's not always the case, because obviously, this thing is a Republican pollster. Sometimes you got to do vulnerability research on your own candidate. And so you'll go out and you'll ask things like, if support or oppose Joe Biden because he pardoned his son, something like that. Right. So, you want to try and, probe your own candidate and see if, if actions like, you know, giving a pardon or voting, you know, to, you know, against the border wall, things like that, if that hurts your candidate. So you can often tell by how the words and the phrases are used by the pollster which way they might be leaning.
Well, what can you tell us about the makeup of the Trump administration's nominees? Do you think that the Secretary of Defense nominee is in trouble right now? You usually had a pretty good sense of who's going to be successful, who's going to win. What do you think? Do you think that Hegseth is in trouble, and who else?
I don't see how Hegseth gets out of this. It's a slow drip. Been around Washington long enough to realize that some of this drip seems to be coming from within. The circular firing squad is sort of to form a circle around Hegseth. I think it's terrible. I think that he would do an excellent job. He's an excellent choice. But sometimes that's the reality of D.C. And this one looks and feels like Republicans are leaking some of this stuff on him, because they don't want to have to take that vote. I think overall Trump's done an excellent job. I mean, you look at the approval ratings. You've got 55% of Americans approving of the 59% of Americans approving the transition. 65% of 18 to 34-year-olds approving of President Trump's transition and what he's doing and how he's naming people who are sort of outside that D.C. bubble. You know, the Tulsi Gabbards, the RFK, the Cash Patel, and some of these people have really energized not only Republicans but independents across the country. I think that's why you saw some of these, you know, really impressive coalitions that Trump built. Yep. And if you think about it, Danny, I mean, Donald Trump getting, 68% of the American Indian vote?
Yep. Well, you can hear, Eric, you can hear the music in the background. Again, I can't begin to thank you enough for all that you did for me, keeping me on the straight and narrow, and sometimes not keeping me on the straight and narrow. It wasn't your fault, but I was not an easy congressman, I'll give you that. Thanks for being with us today.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today. High temperature readings will range from around 50 in Bozeman to about the mid-40s in Billings. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, low temperatures in the mid-20s, and then for Thursday with sunny skies, high temperatures back to around the lower 50s across the area, clear skies into Thursday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.